everybody.
I'll say it.
All right, so this is our introductory podcast. Of course, we're just trying it out. This is hopefully the first of many episodes coming to you every Wednesday, where we're going to be talking sports everywhere from, of course, football is the big thing right now, but anywhere from wrestling to boxing to whatever topic is big in our minds that week, a little bit of picks for the week, whether you want to use them to wager or not, that's up to you. But we're going to give you our takes, our opinions, whether you like it or not, right? So without further ado, in the coach's office with me, Martin Alvarez.
Jason Allen.
And Rick Guerra.
In the coach's office, baby.
Here we go. Episode one.
All right. So... So the first thing we got on topic is, of course, NFL, quarterback-driven league. It looks like you can pick up pretty much any bum off the street that can play running back. So quarterbacks are extremely important. There are several rookie quarterbacks in the league, and probably the most interesting one that we have right now is playing for Coach Nallen's favorite team, Justin Fields.
The Bears. Yeah, so it was announced today that Fields is going to start on Sunday. Dalton's out. This is going to be interesting to see what happens once Dalton gets healthy, because Nagy came out and basically doubled down on the fact that Dalton's going to be the starter when healthy. I don't know how you could do that if you knock off Cleveland this week, and or if you have any kind of performance that has outdone Andy Dalton in the first game and a half that he's played. Though I don't think he did too bad the first game against Los Angeles.
No, Andy Dalton's a solid veteran. I think he understood why he was there.
Yeah.
I think Justin Fields knew it was only a matter of time. Very heavy schedule at the beginning of the season. Of course, injury has made him, I think, that maybe move up a little bit. Definitely a two-way guy. Can throw the ball, can run the ball. But that leads me to my next question is, what is the life of a running quarterback in the NFL?
We were talking about this earlier today as a group, and what if RG3 played in this era instead of being drafted by the Redskins? The Washington
Football League. He has a longer career.
He has a longer career. He actually is going to be used right. But ultimately, at the end, I don't know what the shelf life is.
I think running quarterbacks have minimum
or maximum.
Maximum, yeah, is what I meant. Maximum.
Yeah. NFL, right?
Maximum of like 7 solid years. 7 to 8 solid years.
Not for long. Not for long. Then, the average lifespan or career of a running back is like 3.2 years. So, you know, watching the Baltimore game the other day, obviously – Jackson is their running back. I mean, they're running a college offense. They're right. Doing reads and, you know, just all kinds of stuff.
And it's also a necessity since all 85 running backs through summer camp have gotten hurt, yes, at one point or another. So.
But there's a lot of money invested in Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, well, the quarterback's was going to make or break you.
Right.
And to run him a shit ton is
right
insane to me.
It is insane, and still, it's a throwing league now. I mean, the rules are set up for the receivers. The rules are set up for quarterbacks. You know, even the best defenses are not getting lit up, but it's not what it used to be.
Well, here, let me throw a curveball. What about Vince Young? If he was in the league today, if he had just gotten drafted this year and maybe doesn't go to a shithole in Tennessee and an obviously horrible coach, does he have a life shelf life?
Love Vince Young, big Texas guy. However, he was a good college quarterback.
Yeah, I think Vince Young's downfalls were his lack of actually throwing the ball. I mean, that's the thing. These college quarterbacks come from college systems. They got huge windows to throw into. In the NFL, those windows, your anticipation level has to be
spot on.
And, you know, you're off by just 6 inches one way or another. You're not going to last long.
Point. I'm sure a lot of homework goes in investing in these guys, whether they can play at the NFL level, whether they can make those type of throws. But we see it week in and week out where they, you know, I mean, Daniel Jones ran for 96 yards this last week. Now, he was mostly running for his life.
Right,
but
right, right. Well, that and Washington couldn't figure out that you're not supposed to chase on the zone read, which, you know, our high school teams know that. And they were bailing down every time on the running back. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, he's not
– I get it. I guess they're trying to stop Saquon, let anybody else other than Saquon beat you. But, my God, yeah, he was running just all – he didn't even have that many rushes.
No, I think it was like 9 or 10, I'm not mistaken. Right. But, yeah, and, you know, seeing of course, that Giants game, it reminded me a lot of where DeMarcus Lawrence used to chase the running back and RG3 would pull it going back to RG3.
Right.
Again, I don't know that if it was my team and I wanted to do that, I wouldn't want to – I don't know that I'd want to invest in somebody that's going to be running the ball there's got to be a running back there, you know.
Right.
They have Le'Veon Bell. They just signed.
Well, there's a classic example of a running back whose shelf life's 3.5 years. Because Bell, up to the point they had that contract hold out, was legit. And now, I mean, he's like, it's sad because you see him like Adrian Peterson trying to get through a season that's just not.
It's almost working. Like Zeke.
Zeke
wanted all this big money.
Man, don't even start.
Zeke won all this big money. You give him all this big money, and now he's being outplayed by a backup.
Right.
Who's averaging twice as many yards. Yes. He's getting a whole lot more money. That's we'll get into that one next week if Tony Pollard has another big game. But next thing we wanted to talk about was after week two, who do you guys see as the top contenders? Let me put it this way. If the season was ending today and the NFC Championship was this weekend, who would be playing in the NFC Championship? Who would be playing in the AFC Championship now?
I'm going with the Rams. I think the addition of Stafford was huge for them. And now, granted, the Bears secondary is garbage. We get that. But they threw up 34 points in 18 minutes of possession. That's insane. Wow. That's insane. And they got the defense. I think they got the best defense in the league. I think they got their offense is dynamic. They got the right guy to run it. And I'm excited to see what happens this weekend because against Tampa Bay, it's going to be a good game. And I personally think it's a preview of our NFC Championship with the Rams going to come out on top of the Super Bowl. So what do you think?
Ricky?
Obviously Tampa Bay, LA, those are the two big ones. Think someone who's not too far off, the Arizona Cardinals. Think they're right there.
Get out of here.
I think they got it kind of. They got something going down there, man.
Another
running quarterback. Kyler Murray makes plays. He makes things happen.
Well, they also have the offensive rookie of the year on the team in Rondale Moore.
Yes,
that's my Purdue shout out.
With freaking DeAndre on the other side of him,
and a three-headed monster at running back. I mean, but
I think it might sound crazy right now, but late December, when they're up there.
The thing with the Cardinals
I don't think they're better than the Rams.
You're going to have to come out somehow. You got the extra playoff team on each side. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to figure out how to come out of that division. Because their division is
tough.
It's the best division in football.
Everybody except the Niners.
At Seattle, which I don't think is that great. You got to go against San Francisco. You got to go against Rams. And I like to see where they're at. I don't think it's a bad pick. You know, if I'm a guy who likes to play future markets as we get into sports investments, I think there's some value in there. Playing the Cardinals to go to the Super Bowl. Absolutely.
On the AFC side, Rick?
Biggest surprise, I think, has been Las Vegas. I think they legit look like a contender. Now, granted, your first week, you did surprise a lot of people. Surprised a ton of people. But I think week two, again, Derek Carr has always been hurt.
I think week two is more impressive than week one.
You know? You think so?
Yeah, because week one, they open up the brand new stadium with fans. And, you know, you're bringing Baltimore is a huge game. And, you know, Las Vegas is crazy. The fans there, people there want the Raiders there.
Yes.
So that was an impressive win. But I thought going into Pittsburgh, playing a 12 o'clock game for a West Coast team or a Western Coast, not West Coast, but Western team is impressive nonetheless, because Pittsburgh was coming off a big win against Buffalo. And so now you come in and knock them off, and, you know, I know we had some injuries. T.J. Watt got hurt.
Ben looks so slow, though, man.
They do look slow.
I'm just not sold on the Steelers.
I don't think so either.
At all.
But winning in the road in the NFL is tough.
Yeah, it is.
And going cross-country to win that game after a big victory was super. Now, with that said, I'm going with the Bills coming out of the AFC. I think Kansas City run is not over. They're going to be... they're probably going to be the championship game. I see them, you know, getting there against Buffalo, but I think Buffalo's going to get them. I think Kansas City just, you know, doesn't look right. And also, too, you got to look at past Super Bowl runner-ups and how they fared the next season. It's not a good track record. You know, you look at San Francisco last year. You know, they got decimated. Granted, decimated by injuries, but they weren't playing so hot when those injuries did happen.
Mm-hmm. Kansas City lost that game. I don't think they got beat on Sunday. The fumble, you know, obviously by Allaire, they were in field goal range, you know, ready to win the game like they always do, and just a, you know, horrible fumble at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But I think they are the defending AFC champions, and until we get there, I mean, as long as they have Patrick Mahomes, they're going to have a chance. Yeah. And I like Las Vegas. I think Derek Carr's playing pre-knee injury. It seems like they've got some weapons around him. And, you know, Buffalo, like you said, is not too far behind. And L.A., man, if Stafford and his coach are going to the same barber, they're probably going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, so they're very like-minded, and they seem to be really enjoying each other's company, hopefully not in a weird way. But they just got some good chemistry. They're doing some good things.
Are they about the same age?
I believe they are, because he is, I think, still the youngest coach in the NFL. And, I mean, he looks like a reborn, not living in gloomy Detroit anymore, you know.
That will suck the life out of you.
No diss in Eminem, but, no. You know. So, all right, so next thing, moving on, college talk, right? It's been a crazy, crazy college football season this year. Just all kinds of upsets every week. It's been really messing with my picks and my parlays. But there just seems to be so much parity. Ohio State has lost. Alabama has really not looked like the Alabama of old. And really, if you look at it, from number 3 or 4 all the way to 20, could be mixed matched in any possible way, including some of those schools like Cincinnati and Carolina, or Coastal Carolina. Is it the bad quarterback play? I mean, is it me? Does it seem?
Well, if you ask one individual in this area, he will say there's no good college football teams
ever. Yes.
Because there's no good quarterback. I don't know. Parity, I don't know if I would use the word parity, but I think the top tier levels this year is still the Alabama's, Ohio State's. I would even throw Clemson in there still. But I think the gap for this year has shrunk a little bit. And to open up a possible Cincinnati, which has a huge game next week against Notre Dame, at Notre Dame, which they win that, the rest of their schedule lines up pretty nicely where they can run the table and
have a big win under the belt.
Well, I have two if you count Indiana, which I don't. I think Indiana's a bunch of punks. But, but yeah, I see. You know, the other team you got to look at in the group of five is BYU. BYU has a legitimate shot of running the table. They beat Utah. Now, granted, Utah hasn't looked as good, but the Baylor transfer, though, just upped and quit. I don't know. Wow. So he got benched. He's like, see ya, I'm going to go play for my eighth team in 8 years or whatever it is for him. You know, so, but BYU, I mean.
Is that maybe why there seems to be this, because now you invest in getting a kid there, you have to recruit him essentially every year to get them to stick.
Yes.
Right? I don't know the kids in this generation understand, hey, I'm coming in. The guy in front of me is an All-American. I'm going to sit for 2 years. Then I'm going to be an All-American. Right. They don't have the patience for that.
Right. And the only team in the nation that seems that doesn't have that problem is Alabama. I mean, you get a few guys that go for the portal and stuff, but you know, you look at you know, Tua waited his turn behind Jalen Hurts till Hurts left. Mac Jones waited for him, and then Bryce Young.
Bryce Young now is there.
Now he's a redshirt freshman, but same thing. You know, you come in as a 5-star recruit and don't play your first year.
It's a culture shock.
These guys are bouncing. Right. You know, you look at my team, Purdue. If you don't play a 5-star that first year, that kid ain't staying. and Purdue doesn't have the depth that Alabama has. Well, that's just, you know, the situation. But the way that Purdue can get good and stay good is through, you know, college free agency, which is a transfer portal. But, you know, so to answer the original question, I think the parity is there from the second tier on. I think right now it's going to be Alabama. Well, I can't even say Alabama because
they have a big game next week against Texas A&M.
And, you know, if I was looking ahead on that, I would say that A&M has a legit shot of knocking them off.
Arkansas beat your Texas Longhorns.
Arkansas is not bad. And I tell you, if this game against A&M was in Fallonsville, I think Arkansas wins.
Right.
And it same goes the other way. I think if it was in College Station, I think the Aggies win. And I think it's essentially kind of how it was against UT. I mean,
neutral side game, right?
It's a neutral side game at Jerry World. And that's a 50-50 game. It could be. And Arkansas in the past had even been bad, and they play A&M good there.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, two close schools, SEC play. I mean, they're going to play tough every single time. I think this is the year, though, that Arkansas knocks them off.
Okay. You think Arkansas
I think Arkansas them. Knocks them off, well, and then I think Arkansas shits the bed.
Well, my hypothetical is I think A&M is going to squeak by. I think they just got too much talent.
I think they've squeaked by twice.
They have, and their quarterback, of course, their starting quarterback is gone, and the pizza sandwich calzone is playing at quarterback. But, you know, that leads me to my next hypothetical. If they can get by Arkansas, does A&M have a chance of beating Alabama? And for the first time in a long time, we have a Texas school who may have a path to the national championship in a long time.
I think so. I think it's also going to be hard because A&M's bound to lose one game somewhere along the way, whether it's to Alabama or someone else. Their best bet would be just to Alabama, and that's it. And they run the table with all the other games. Alabama either loses no games, and that looks even better on their record, or even Alabama loses one game, let's say it's the SEC championship, which – for A&M, that would be worst-case scenario because a one-loss Alabama team's going to make the playoff, not A&M one-loss.
I always pull for Texas a little harder than I do for A&M, but anytime it's a Texas school, you know, you want them.
Yes, you want them in there. You want if they can find a way in, you want to find a way in.
I'll tell you what, though. First off, we made our first mistake on our podcast.
Oh, okay.
They got Mississippi State next week, which is going to be a win at home.
So we were – I hope they're not looking forward to Alabama we are. But
right. But then they have Alabama at home. So they're going to beat Mississippi State. So say they beat Arkansas, they beat Mississippi State. At Missouri, win. South Carolina's garbage. Home versus Auburn. Should. Should win, but I'll tell you, the game that's going to probably trip up, as you said, Rick, is at Mississippi.
Yes.
Lane Kiffin, he's tricky. He's tricky. Last year, he almost lit – I mean, he lit up Alabama for about 58 points. I mean, they lost 120 to 58. But he's still – you know, he's got that team going. And I think if you're going to get the mix-up
– veteran quarterback.
Or then. It could be that Prairie View A&M. That's his tough squad. They get the week after. They might be looking ahead, but I'm not sure. But if they're able to beat Mississippi, they got Prairie View A&M. This is just a joke. We'll have to talk about schedule someday from the SEC. And then at LSU. LSU's not that good this year. They'll get in. They'll have the SEC championship game against most presumably Georgia.
I could see them losing, though, to – Ole Miss, like you said. Ole Miss has Matt Corral. Matt Corral's veteran quarterbacks, stud. Been there. Yeah,
the he is a stud. Dynamic and you
playmaker.
Know,
great it, offensive line too.
Right, you know, you almost wonder. It's like reverse fortunes. Remember when the Manziel just ran all over A&M or yes. over Alabama?
Yes.
Same thing here. I think Kiffin's gonna, you know, get those guys on the road because it's a legit defense. A&M has a legit defense, but I think that's where that trip up's gonna be.
So, well, I, for a long time, I can't say this, but I'm rooting for A&M. So we'll see what happens. Of course, Texas schools are always on the top.
Now, hold on, okay. But let's say Texas runs the table now. Do you think they deserve a shot with one loss to Arkansas? Who, let's say Arkansas ends with, you know, a great season.
The problem is the Big 12 doesn't get the respect.
They don't get the respect because they don't play. No.
But they also don't deserve the respect right now.
But it's going to be like every, you know, I'd like for them to be able to run the table and then maybe they get a shot. But, like I said, like, you know, like Nalan was saying, the Big 12 does not get the same respect.
No.
And they always end up tripping up.
You essentially need an undefeated team.
Yes. But, and they always trip up to Kansas or Iowa State or something.
To the point,
you know,
though, if Texas does run the table, that means they would have beaten Oklahoma twice.
Yes.
That definitely puts them in the conversation.
Well, Rattler does not.
Well, Rattler.
I mean, I saw him on QB1. I didn't like the kid.
He was a jerk.
And now he
got banned from high school football.
Like, his
who does that?
Like his play at Oklahoma I can't. And right. I don't know.
But the whole country is high on this kid.
Yeah.
So if you go, well, you beat that kid
twice. He
started
off as a Heisman favorite. Yes. And now I think his odds are down to like 1,200 to 1 or something like that.
You know, I think Bryce Young.
I've been hearing on some podcasts and stuff where they've been talking about the NFL scouts are going down there and they're like, yeah, this kid is not the guy.
Not what you need.
And apparently they say there are better quarterbacks on the bench at Oklahoma, but that'll have to be a topic for another day. But staying with Texas colleges and local colleges – UTSA, right? UTSA.
They're for real.
Are they for real? Are they going to break the top 25? Are they going to make a major bowl game?
I think they do break top 25 if they beat Memphis. If they beat Memphis, because Memphis is legit. They're always one of those spoiler teams out there that...
Yeah, they're going out to the Liberty Bowl, and that's going to be a big road win for them. They're good, but I think that some people are putting a lot of stock in that Illinois win. And, and coming from a Big Ten country guy, I am Illinois is garbage. And so you look at them. I think they're going to win Conference USA, and you know Phil Steele was very high on them. I think he picked them to win Conference USA. Some other people I listened to for future bets had them winning Conference USA.
Some people had them as high as 9 wins for the season.
9 wins. I think their OU for wins are 8.5.
I think it was 8.5.
So, but this is a huge game. I mean, at Memphis. They actually, I mean, and let's put it this way. If they run through this table with one loss, and that one loss is Memphis, they're going to be a top 25 team because you got to go at Western Kentucky, which it's – not the Western Kentucky of 5 years ago, but they're pretty legit. At La Tech. La Tech's always pretty good. At UTEP. UTEP's better this year. Mm-hmm. So they got some tough road games ahead of them. UAB. UAB's a pretty good team. So,
well, and I think it's a testament to them recruiting
actual Texas high school kids.
Texas high school kids.
San Antonio, yes.
Kids from the Rio Grande Valley. There are some gems in the valley that always seem to be passed up by other Division I schools. They've done a great job of recruiting and keeping guys in house. A lot of Judson talent and Steele talent on that team.
Right.
And of course, you know, the head coach being a former Texas high school football coach definitely has been helping that program.
He gets it. Unlike the other program that's near us,
Texas State is the other school that's on the topic here, my alma mater. I had a lot of fun at Texas State, it was a great school. I love that place, and I did go to probably more football games than the average person that went there. But they gambled this year. They recruited nothing but JUCO players, and they just lost to Incarnate Word, who was Division I this year, But there is no reason that a Division I the size of Texas State should be losing to Incarnate Word.
Incarnate Word is less than 10 years old as a football program. Yes, they have no
business. You say Texas State, I think of this. That's what I think of Texas State. And Ward would be very disappointed, but God, man. I think they're projected to go JUCO next year. Maybe schedule.
They rolled the dice by recruiting mostly JUCO players from out of state, and it's going to have to hurt them in the recruiting. And when you're being compared to the UTSA, that's right down 35, and then up 35 is UT.
I don't know.
You can't ignore Texas high school football kids, especially you're in that corridor. Again, you could pull the kids from Judson, New Braunfels.
You're in a perfect location.
You're in a really great location because you could grab the kids, kids. You could grab San Antonio. That Northeast ISD high school is. Those high schools, they produce talent. You're not going to get the top tier blue chips kids, but you could get those starters. You get starters from those teams, you're going to be in pretty good shape. You go JUCO route.
Ugh. Yeah, it hurts my soul, but I have to say that I'm used to them since the days of Jim Wacker having any real success. All right, so the bad beat of the week, Nalan.
Bad beat of the week.
Very interesting game here for us. Wagner versus St. Francis. Please explain. Yes.
So, all right. So, the spread was 14 for Wagner. Wagner was minus 14 versus St. Francis. 1-point game, 5 minutes to go. In the gambling world, you're feeling pretty darn good about yourself at that point. So, plays going on. All right, they score. They cut it down to 6 points. They take the lead by 8. Wagner does. 50 seconds to go. Wagner punts, pins him down. St. Francis down the 1-yard line with 50 seconds to go. Now, at this point, it's not a horrible beat, but the only thing you just need to do is get a stop. Get a first down. The game's over. You win. You cover. Count that ticket. Pick 6.
Ooh.
Pick 6.
Damn.
Exactly. Wagner goes on the cover. Now, luckily, I wasn't on that game. We could probably do an entire 3-hour podcast on the number of bad beats I've had throughout the years. Luckily, that wasn't part of it as well.
That's going pretty deep in the picks there now. My bad beat was almost the Cowboys not making that field goal at the end of the game.
You said Wagner St. Francis. I'm thinking Wagner San Antonio. I'm like, we're betting the high school over here. What's going on?
But that's pretty. Yeah, that was a pretty bad one. I've seen worse throughout the years, but going on. So we're going to talk about some picks now for this week. And now, even though this is the first week of our podcast, we in the coach's office have always talked a little sports investments. And my locks of the week have gone 2-1 up so far this year. The loser being Indiana last week because... Anyways, we're moving on. Indiana can't score inside the red zone on 2 different occasions. Love fumbling on the 3-yard line, which would guarantee the cover, but I digress. This week, I got 3 college games, and I got 3 NFL games that I really like. And out of those 3, I got my lock of the week. The first one is we're going to go back to Texas A&M Arkansas. And I really like Arkansas in this spot right here. Neutral field. A&M has not played great the last 3 weeks. I mean, they've covered their first week and the third week, but they struggled against Kent State. And then they struggled last week versus... I say struggled, but it just wasn't a clean game.
The spread is up to 14, is that?
No, the spread is 5.5. 5.5, plus 5.5. If you wait closer to the game day, I bet you're going to get closer, get a 6. Couple stats up there. Arkansas, 12-3 in their last 15 against the spread. That's a pretty good number right there. And 3-0, there's the last 3 games against A&M against the spread as well. So I like Arkansas taking that one up in Jerry World. If you like money line plays, maybe a little sprinkle money line in there. Get yourself a couple extra dollars. Second pick is Western Michigan, -3 versus San Jose State. This is all based off of travel. San Jose State played at Hawaii last week, and you know the time difference there. They played a late game. Game started around 11 o'clock Central Time, probably ended around 3:30, 4 o'clock Central Time. Then they had a flight back to the island on Sunday, probably late. And then now they're going across country to Kalamazoo, Michigan, playing the Central Time Zone at 11 o'clock. So that's going to be a 9 o'clock start for San Jose State. Western Michigan is a really good team. They beat Pittsburgh last week. Might be a little letdown spot for Western, but I think ultimately at the end, the travel is going to be too much for San Jose State, and Western takes that -3. And then my third pick is Notre Dame under 46.5 points. Struggle with this going back and forth. I've been wanting to go play ND for the spread of +6. Just couldn't do it, but I think between the Wisconsin offense not being dynamic and their defense being very dynamic, it's going to be a terrific opportunity to get under that score, under that number. I kind of like a 17-10 type game in there, and think that's going to be I think it's going to go under for that. So that's what I got in the college. You guys got anything for college games that you really like?
I was talking about that 14-point spread. I was talking about West Virginia, Oklahoma.
Yes.
That's a lot of points to me. I know West Virginia, they're coming off a victory over Virginia Tech, but Oklahoma just does not look like a team that's going to cover 14 points.
No.
It could change, between now and game day, but I think I'm taking West Virginia.
I can see that.
With the under points there. And then the other one is, of course, we were talking about UTSA and Memphis. I mean, UTSA to win. Now, maybe that's a call, that's my heartstrings calling that one. But I think they're for real. I think that they're going to beat Memphis, and it's going to be more than 3 points. And
I took a good, long, hard look at that game. And Memphis being they're at home, favored 3.5. If that game got at 3 or dip below 3, I was going to jump all over Memphis. But it stays at 3.5. I'm really curious to see what UTSA has this week. And it's a game definitely I'm going to watch and keep an eye on. And just for future references, with UTSA, because they could be a cash cow going forward playing against the spread with them. So, Mr. Guerra, what do you have?
College-wise, I don't have any.
Nothing.
every game's pretty close. I mean, some of the spreads, you can bet Alabama over freaking Luling at freaking -75.5, and you'll probably hit that. But when those big schools like that play those small D1 schools, I don't even touch those money lines. Those spreads. Those spreads are freaking insane, like 42 points, 38 points.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of those. You're going to take it, and whoever they're playing is going to score in the final 30 seconds in garbage time and cover.
What about Notre Dame and Wisconsin? Wisconsin, 6.5 points.
That was the game I looked at, I said earlier. I ended up taking the under 46.5, or I'm going to take the under 46.5. My heart, I hate both schools, so I don't really have a heart play in this one. But I think Notre Dame, now grant you, Purdue's not the powerhouse that they used to be back in the 50s, but they gave Notre Dame a game, and then they ended up Notre Dame ended up covering at the end. But they looked solid offensively, even with they had injuries on the offensive line. Defensively, they're pretty good. I think their game against Wisconsin, it plays into their strength, stopping the run.
Yeah, Wisconsin's very heavy run.
Right.
That's why the under points wise seems
and
legit play. Yeah.
The two games I've seen Wisconsin play, I haven't been overly impressed. They gave the game away against Penn State. Again, red zone turnovers are hurting.
Penn State is balling right now.
But Penn State's a pretty good team. They're going to Soldier Field, which, I mean, it's about 3 hours from Madison, about 2 hours from South Bend, so it's not really a home field advantage in that sense. So if I had to play this, I'm going to play Notre Dame plus 6.5. But I'm probably, well, I say probably not. I'll probably fire a shot out there on Saturday morning. But right now, Notre Dame under is my play for the college game.
Thursday NFL game is Carolina at Houston. Houston,
yeah,
plus 8.
I don't like it because Thursday night games could be a little bit tricky when it comes against the spread on the side. Though I think Carolina is going to beat them pretty handily. But you got to worry about that backdoor cover. Plus, we don't have a lot of tape on this Mills guy. Right. I mean, for all we know,
Mills, Stanford kid,
yeah,
Stanford,
smart. For all we know, it's gonna be, you know, with was it Heineke or something for Heineke from
Washington?
No one knew about it. I remember everyone bet the world against Washington against Tampa in the playoffs last year, and Heineke held his own.
Mm-hmm. When he came in after the injury, I want to say he went like 9 for 11 for, yeah, like 160 yards.
So, I mean, you got a situation there where you're up 15, 16, and, you know, you get a late touchdown, go for two, you get a push if you took Carolina. So, I really like the under that game. I think it's a 26-9 type game where totals at 43.5 right now. I think, those – sloppy. This rookie only gets 2 days of prep work, and then he has to go against the Carolina defense that's really good.
Yeah.
I can see Carolina playing uninspired ball a little bit because you just came off a pseudo big win against New Orleans, and now you got to play Thursday night on the road. So again, I can see a 23-10, 26-9 type of game for the under in that. So moving on with the NFL picks, three games I like in there too. I like the Chargers plus 6.5. Chiefs are 1-12-1 against the spread the last 14 games. They're just not a good cover. They're a good football team. They're just not good at covering spreads.
Is it safe to say to take the over in any Chiefs game?
I would say it's safe to take any over. Because
I have the past 3 weeks or 2 weeks, yeah, and I have hit both times.
Yeah, and as well, yeah. It's
almost by halftime.
Yeah, almost by halftime. The other game I like is Patriots minus 3 against the Saints. This is technically the Saints' third road game. They haven't even been home in a month.
Superdome was on fire.
And Superdome's on fire. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. But they've been practicing up in Dallas, the Fort Worth area, the last couple weeks. They had one on the road to Jacksonville, even though it was their home game. One on the road last week against Carolina and lost. Now they got to go up to New England where, I think Belichick's one of the greatest coaches of all time, especially on defense. He's going to have something for Jameis Winston and the Saints. I think New England comes
He looked away. Rather pedestrian against Carolina this weekend.
And then the one I'm kind of pushing on a little bit is the Bengals plus 3.5. I'm basing this off of, one, T.J. Watt hurt his groin last week. Last report I saw is he's probably going to play. But I don't think Burrow could play any worse than he did last week against Chicago. Yeah.
Back to back.
Yes.
Interception.
That's not good in any sport except for baseball, and we weren't playing baseball. But the news of Roethlisberger having a pectoral injury is a huge thing, I think. But they just don't look solid offensively. They look very stagnant. And their defense is solid, but I think, division game, I like the Bengals catching 1.5 on
Nice.
So,
any thoughts on the Monday night game, Cowboys-Eagles, Cowboys by 3?
Cowboys first.
Or I just
game.
Jumped to 4, actually. So
up to 4. Well, sip on my tea here. I like the over just because primetime overs have been hot lately. And I think Philadelphia is going to come out and play better offensively than they did against San Francisco. I'm still not sold on the Dallas defense, although they played better against San Diego. They did play better against San Diego. You're still missing a key piece in Lawrence being out.
Micah Parsons, though, looked
like, Parsons did look the part.
He looked a lot better at defensive end than he did at linebacker. You know, but
so, but
glad they made that move early.
Yeah.
Also, too, I think the Cowboys' offense is just really good, and as much as it pains some people to hear that, they do look good. And I wouldn't be opposed to taking the minus four for Dallas.
The under for points is 52.5.
I think they'll fly over that.
I see. Cowboys are going to put up some points.
I think they'll put up some points. 37-25.
Is this their first game against Jalen Hurts? Cowboys against Jalen Hurts? Or did they have one at the end of last season?
I think he played at the end of last season.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You could throw out last season as a wash because Dallas was a dysfunctional.
Well, they didn't have Prescott. Yeah.
They're dysfunctional. They didn't have Dak. And on top of that, you had basically a junior high coach running that defense last year. So you do that. You add those up. I would throw out any results from last year. They have all the tape they have on Hurts. But I still don't think that defense is – I think they're all right. I just don't think they're –
Second best level. Rushing defense in the league, also Philadelphia right now.
Yeah.
So, well, that's
Zeke was out of the equation anyway.
Yeah. Well, and we look at that as again Zeke. If Pollard gets most of the carries and most of the targets, they'll be in better shape,
right,
than they would otherwise. Right. But, so that, I guess that leads us into the
what's Nalen's lock of the week.
All right, so we're going – the lock of the week is going to be Western Michigan minus three. It was part of my pick three of the, you know, the combo six-pack, Western Michigan minus three. Again, travel. San Jose State's not as good. The only possible issue is a letdown by Western Michigan after a big win against Pitt last week. But I think in discussing in with other people – you know, a guy named Manuel from Del Rio, he feels strongly about this too. So that's what I'm going to go with, and we're going to be going 3-1 going into next week.
That's the plan. That's the plan. So we'll keep track of it on our picks. Again, invest wisely, and only if you're not set to lose your house by doing it. So treat those picks how you will. Hope you guys had fun. I had fun.
This was great.
First time, baby.
Yeah, you know, we're de-virginized from podcasting, and we should be doing this every Wednesday. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I know Nolan has. Rick has talked about it and
made it happen.
Made it happen. That's what it's about.
One last shout out. If you're on Twitter, @AltusLegend. Is my Twitter account for the sports investment side of things. I'll post all my picks there if you want to refer back to them.
Yeah, and we'll be setting up a Twitter and a Facebook as well as a YouTube channel, and hopefully we can come to you with video on the next podcast. But look for us every Wednesday. Enjoy it. I hope you guys had a little fun talking some football and some picks, and we'll see you next time.
Later, fellas.
Later. See ya.